Once again, a good morning to each and every one of you, as Michael just mentioned, and also John has mentioned. We are moving into the second part of our church theme. The first one is trust God. It is always important and it's always vital for our Christian journey to trust God, to lean on to God, and to ask God to help us in our journey. Secondly, I think it's we want to live in unity, which is important. I think if you look at the scriptures, you know, the two greatest commandments is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and to love one another, right, as we love the Lord. And lastly, it doesn't stop there. We're not self-contained, but no, we are called to serve the world, as we heard from Danielle today. I think God calls us to be a great testimony wherever we are. It might be our workplace, it might be our neighborhood, but wherever we are, right, we are called to be faithful witnesses of God. You know, when you look at this theme, the church theme, you know, sometimes it's good always to ask this question: is it biblical? Is it biblical to live in unity? Because sometimes, you know, churches will have, you know, very catchy, wonderful church theme. That's nice, right, for us to remember. But I think it's important for us to ask, you know, is it biblical? Is it grounded in the Word of God? If it is grounded in the Word of God, then the second question comes, you know, am I willing, as a disciple, as a lover of God, who loves God, willing to accomplish this biblical goal or biblical truth that is in us? And today we want to see whether this theme of our church is biblical at the same time, and then what is my role? Because we play a very important role. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you once again that we can gather together as your church, as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, as the temple of God, and also as a family of God. And we know, Lord, that we are not alone in this place, but your presence is here. And so, Lord, we pray that we'll acknowledge your presence. Lord, we pray that even today, God, as we hear your word, help us, O God. Convict us, even convince us, or even encourage us, O God. Help us to know that we are part of this mission. We are part of this goal, O God. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. I like to read cartoons, you know, but nowadays I don't have the time. In Singapore, we have the newspaper called Straits Times, the Straits Times of Singapore. And almost at the back, you know, one of the first thing that I will go and read is the cartoons. You know, they're wonderful. It gives you some kind of messages for that particular day. I came across this cartoon, right, called the Peanuts cartoon. You know, it's about Lucy and Linus. It's a very interesting two characters that you'll see. What was happening, I think, those days before the remote controls came. You know, it is interesting. It is only in the early 1900s, I think, you'll see remote controls coming in. So during that time, I think people have to go and change the channels. So then on this particular day, what was happening, you know, Lucy was looking, you know, just viewing some movies. And then, you know, Linus went to the TV place and then he started changing the channels. And then, you know, Lucy was really frustrated. You know, she said, "I'm really frustrated. Can you change back to the channels? If not," she said, "these five fingers, right? They are individually nothing. They can't do much. But I put it together, it becomes a weapon and it will come to your face." And Linus was shocked. And so immediately he changed back to the channel that Lucy was watching. And then he looked at his fingers and he said, and these are the words he said, "Why can't you guys get organized like that? Why can't you guys get organized like that?" So when I was just reading this cartoon, it is possible to organize these guys together. When they come together, there are so many things we can achieve. There are so many things we can make it possible with God's help in our lives. You know, before I look into the passage, I was just reading about Karl Barth. Because when you look at, you know, some of you have gone to seminary, you would have heard this word, the visible church and the invisible church and all that. And some people say, some theologians say, you know, the church invisible is the church was the past. And then the visible church is the present. But I like the way Karl Barth, though to a certain extent, I don't really support him. But, you know, I like the way he starts looking about the church. And this is the words of Karl Barth. He said, the church has always been a public uproar by a visible group since the time of the apostles. And a church that is not visible is not the church. This great Swiss theologian was a mover of so many things, my friend. He was one of the finest theologians during his time. He saw that the church has always been a public uproar. Noise, not a silent group of people, but a public uproar since the time of the apostles. And a church that is not visible, if the church is not seen, if the church is not heard, if the church is not noticed by people around us, it is not the church. And so sometimes we tend to ask ourselves, how can people know that we are a church? I believe it's not just because of our building, because there are so many church buildings around, my friend. Almost every street corner, you will see a church building. Looks nice, fantastic, right? The outside looks wonderful. But I think Karl Barth is talking about the inner life of the church. Some of the things that happens in the life of the church. And he sees it as a public uproar. When you look at the scripture that was just read today, it's a powerful prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at, you know, Jesus was always, you know, praying for the disciples. And before he was praying for the disciples, he was just having a public discourse with them. He was having a lot of teaching sessions with them. And finally, you know, Jesus is praying. Look at the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives a lot of importance to unity. He says that all of them may be one. That all of them will be united. That all of them will be one. Jesus saw the importance of being together. I'm not talking about uniformity, that we wear the same clothing, you know, we speak the same way. But I think Jesus is talking about unity, how the church is united. When the church is united, it becomes a public uproar. The church becomes noisy. The church becomes visible. The church becomes a transforming agent in the community that the church is in. So a couple of things I want to look at this particular passage, because we are into the second part of our church theme. You know, we want to live in unity, and we want to start looking at the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many examples in the Bible about model churches, but I think we want to see the heart of Jesus. What is the prayer of Jesus? You know, when Jesus prays, he was pouring his heart, and we begin to see what was his real desire, what really comes from the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, the thing is that we see the importance to this unity. Why should the church be united? Why is church unity so important? Because there are many churches around the world, they have to close down, you know, because there are a lot of differences and there have been quarrels. It is not today, but also in the First Corinthian church where Paul writes, there was divisions in the church. Can you imagine? It was during the early days of Christianity. They should be on fire for God, but there were four divisions. Some said, I belong to Apollos. And some said, you know, I belong to Paul. And that was the kind of problems the early church had. And I believe, you know, it is, we can also have the same thing. So today, I think, why is it important for us to be united? And this is the prayer of Jesus. I want to focus on the prayer of Jesus. Jesus said that all of them may be one. You know, it is not because of, you know, we should be one because of doctrine. We shouldn't be one because of the events. He's not talking about, you know, a doctrine or events or things that will just bring us together. But he's talking about something much more deeper, that all of us will be one. If not, it hurts the body of Christ, my friend. And Jesus wants us to be one. Not one in, you know, not, you know, because the Chinese side is doing something, so we need to do similar things, right? That could be uniformity. But what is Jesus is trying to say? You know, how can this be achieved? If you look at verse 10, he says, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. In other words, you know, when we are united, what is happening? We glorify God, my friend. And that is what Jesus is trying to say. Jesus came into this world for our sins, to die for our sins, to give us salvation. Yes, that is important. That is one of the main motive for Christ to come. But if you look at this particular passage, it tells us that, you know, Jesus came, that his glory will be magnified. So when the church is united, the church comes together as one body, as one family, as one bride of God. What is happening here? It's not the church becoming powerful. The name of God, Christ, is glorified. So the importance of our unity is the more united we are glorifying God, we are magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that is the main purpose, my friend. It's not because, you know, we need to come because that we are obligated to come, right? Because I'm a member of this particular church, I have to, or maybe I'm holding a responsibility in the church. I'm a leader. I have certain things I need to do, so I'm coming. Yes, it's important for us to hold responsibilities or volunteer in many ministries, but I think the coming together is glorifying God. And this is what Jesus was saying, the importance of coming together. So today, when you come together, what's happening? You're glorifying God. The name of Jesus is glorified. It's not because, you know, yes, we had a service, but the name of Jesus is glorified. If you look at the verse again, in another verse, verse 22, and it says, I've given them the glory that you gave me. In other words, the glory of God. We not only glorify God, but God's glory is with us, my friend. The presence of God is with us. The grace of God is with us. Not only our coming together glorifies and magnifies God, but what has happened? He is present with us. His grace is felt. His presence is felt. His transforming grace is felt in our lives, in the church. The church begins to see the presence of God and experience the presence of God. When the church is not united, what is happening? I think, you know, we have issues, right? In my pastoral ministry, I've gone to certain countries to preach and all that. I've been to certain countries where certain people are given a particular place to sit, and you're not supporting the church, then you will be given a different place to sit. I've seen it in my own eyes, and I've experienced looking at this, those things, my friend. So the presence of God is felt. So today, not only we glorify God, but God's grace is upon us. Do you know God's presence is here today? That you're not alone sitting here. God is here, is with us, just enjoying our time, enjoying our time. And he's also present and working in our life. And so that is the priority, my friend. Not because we want numbers, not because, you know, we have to have a program, we need to complete a service, it's because we need to finish this task. Yes, it's good to have a programs in events. I'm not against it, but I think the main motive is when we come together, we are glorifying God, and God's glory is felt in our lives. And our church and his presence is here. And that's why, you know, when you look at Paul, as I was mentioning, Paul writes to the church in 1 Corinthians. There were so many issues in that particular church. There were so many issues. People are having difficulties about the Lord's Supper. Some, you know, they were eating more, not, you know, waiting for another person, the poorer ones, to come and to eat. There was a lot of issues in that particular church. There was disorderly worship that was happening in the church too, in 1 Corinthian church. And there was there were moral issues. But what is happening? Paul deals primarily on the issue of unity. Because he felt if our purpose was not right, then everything is not going to be right. He could have dealt with communion. He could have dealt with worship. But if you look at Paul's, the way he deals, he starts dealing with the issue of unity or disunity that was found in the church. So living in unity is important, my friend. It glorifies God. And you want to experience God's presence. And then it also says, I have given them my glory. Secondly, how should we be united? You know, we'll ask ourselves, you know, should we have the same, you know, in certain churches, I've also preached in certain churches back in Singapore, you know, they will wear almost the same uniform, right? Everyone will be wearing the same thing. But what is the nature of this unity? It's important for us to ask, what is the nature of this unity? I was reading Francis Xavier, a Christian thinker and a writer, wonderful man of God. He says, you know, that our unity should not be because we belong to a church. It should actually flow from the Trinity God, from God who is triune. And that's how he says. And you know, the nature of unity is, you know, it's seen in this, all these things, with verses 21, and all of them may be one, Father. Look at the prayer of Jesus, that all of them may be one. How? Just as you in me and I in you. In other words, Jesus is saying, Lord, we are the models. The Trinitarian God is the model, that you are one and I in you. And in verse 23, he says, I in them and you in me, complete in unity. Sometimes we will ask ourselves, is it possible? Right? Even today we struggle to define the Trinitarian concept of the triune God. There are many ways of looking at it, many perspectives, and even in theological circles they still struggle because it's so mysterious, so supernatural, so powerful that we can't. Our human mind sometimes have difficulty to see the triune God as one. And so when you look at these two verses and many of the verses, you know, when I see unity is not possible, you know, today we have a lot of programs. Why? Because in that way we are trying to bring unity, my friend. I'm not against snack time. I love snack time, right? All of us love snack time. Anyone don't like snack time? We love snack time. Right? Immediately we run to see what is on the table. You know, sometimes if we don't have snack time, will we still have unity in the church? Will we still hang around in the church? Sometimes we create things to create unity. We have programs. So sometimes I imagine for myself, if all these things are taken away, do we still hang out, come around, loiter around in the church, and spend some time, care for one another? By the way, we are going to have snack time today also. So it is a supernatural kind of thing. It's only God can make it possible. Yes, as a church, we try to organize programs, events, feasts, dinners, and all that, so that we are together. It's something, you know, God should intervene, and we should allow God to happen in that, in our lives, my friend. You know, when you look at this word, you know, unity, sometimes you will say, you know, some people say, you know, we should be united by our doctrines. Jesus is not talking about doctrinal unity. Right? Doctrinal unity is totally different, my friend. Jesus is not talking about doctrinal unity here. He's about talking about who God is. You know, as you know, if you bring people alive, people like John Wesley, John Calvin, right, great theologians, Martin Luther, and all these, you know, they had different kinds of theological perspective. But you know, when you read church history, they don't fight. I was reading about, you know, John Wesley had a different thinking about certain things, and George Whitefield also had a different perspective, but they did not quarrel, right? There was one time in their life, you know, John Wesley and then George Whitefield were writing letters back and forth because there were certain doctrinal issues they cannot agree upon. So they were writing back and forth. Wesley became frustrated because of the too many letters. He started ignoring these letters. So someone asked George Whitefield, you know, George, if you go to heaven, will you see Wesley? Can you imagine? They had difficult differences. The differences became much more difficulty for them. Right? Will you see Wesley? You know, George Whitefield said these words. It was so powerful. He said, I think I'll not see Wesley. I'll not go and see him in heaven. Why? The person asked. He said, because Wesley will be too close to the throne of God, and I will be very far away from the throne of God. Can you imagine? They were not able to see eye to eye on certain issues. But what Whitefield said, you know, John Wesley will be too close to the throne of God, and I will be further, that I can't go near to the throne of God and to see my friend Wesley. Yes, they had differences, my friend, but I think what's united them is the love of God, is Christ. So Jesus is not talking about denominational kind of unity, right? He's not talking about organizational kind of unity, which I think history tells us very clearly. I think if you read, you know, European history, it's interesting. Christianity was trying to be the state religion, right? Even in the United Kingdom, the Church of England was imposing people by saying that the Church of England or the Anglican Church is the main church. So the other denominations were having a lot of issues. So what happened? History tells you, right? The Puritans came to America because if they were persecuted and their belongings were thrown away, and so the Puritans, they somehow managed and they came to America. And they started promoting their denominational belief. Do you know what the Puritans did in America? They too started persecuting other Christians who did not belong to their movement. They were also. So what happens, I think, yes, Jesus is not talking about this kind of organized national religion where we say, you know, it becomes a state religion. It is not. I think our unity should be the way the Lord is united, my friend. It should come from God, and you know, God is together. You know, I think some of you know that my wife and I visited Iceland. We had a wonderful time. By the way, I ate whale meat. It was very nice. You should go and try that. When we were there, you know, it was interesting. You know, before we went, I was reading about something about Iceland. I realized, you know, historically, right, I think because of the missionaries and also because of certain reasons, they wanted the nation to be together. So Christianity became more of the official religion. The other denominations or other Christian denominations were not really permitted in Iceland. It has become, you know, it is seen Christianity is the majority, but it's sadly not many Christians there. I remember going to, my wife and I, we went to a restaurant to eat. One of our church members told us, so we went there. So, and we you know, when we were sitting at that restaurant, we heard a nice, wonderful Christian song. And the person was also, you know, just humming. So we went and asked the person, "Wow, it's a nice song. It's a wonderful Christian song." The person looked at me, "Is it? I don't know this is a Christian song." Then we asked, "Are you a Christian?" Yeah, I'm a Christian. "But I'm a Christian, but I don't know this is a Christian song." Jesus is not talking that kind of unity, my friend. Because we are a Christian nation, he's not talking about that kind of unity. Because we are, you know, we are in that particular denominational, yeah, he's not talking about, it's about Trinity, right? God. As the Father loves the Son loves the Father. As the Father loves the Son, he's willing to give his life to glorify the Father. And the Father is willing to send the Son so that the salvation of the world happens. That kind of unity happens here, my friend. How is it possible? Looking at God's word very carefully, you know, one of the things that's possible is, you know, in John 15, John talks about it, that when we start abiding in Christ, in other words, in each and every one of us, you know, walk towards the cross, that brings us closer. That unites us and we become one. And if you look at, you know, First John also speaks about it. He talks about active love, not passive love. In 1 John chapter 3, where Michael was reading, he talks about love, right? That is, it's manifested in deed and truth. You know, it's very interesting. You know, it's active. In other words, you show your love, you are there. And Paul writes about the love of God. You know, Paul talks about the love of Christ, right, to us, the way, you know, about husband loving the wife. And my wife and I, when we do marital counseling, we know that, you know, couples come from different backgrounds, different upbringings, different ways of doing things. And so, you know, we tend to tell them, you know, the first year can be very romantic years, right? It's always yes, yeah, yes, honey, and all this yes. Then after that, life kicks in, real life kicks in, right? And so we always tell them the importance of spending time together. The importance of communicating, talking, right? The importance of being available. The time is needed. Not just time, but quality time. Not conversation, not high and by, but deep conversation. I think that's how Paul looks at it. That he sees that relationship to the relationship between the husband and wife. So it's a process, my friend. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes a lot of energy. So if you want to be united, the body of Christ, it takes time. It takes energy. Sometimes we need to come out of our comfort zone because as husband and wife, we have a common goal to achieve. And that's what Paul sees, the relationship. And that's what, you know, we say. Unity is not immediately achieved. It takes time. Process. Trying to come out from our comfort zone. Right? To mingle, to speak, to be there, to say hi, and to get to know. If not, I think what happens, the relationship becomes very superficial. Then you see breakups happening. Not only in family life, but also in the church life. Let me finish with this third one. You know, what's the purpose? Very simple, right? Jesus is praying, and the prayer of Jesus is so powerful, right? He says that all of them may be one, that we will be together, united, Father, just as you and in me and I in you. May they also be in us so that the world might believe that you have sent me. What happens when we are together, when we model our lives the way Christ is united with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? When we see Christ as the model, my friend, when all of us are abiding in Christ, we are united by Christ, the world believes. The world is able to see Christ visible. You know, sometimes it's so sad. There are so many churches, but we don't have much people. So many churches, you see. But I think what's happening, if we fail to influence the community, is there something wrong with our unity? That others are not able to see that we are together in Christ. Look at the life of the early church. They were so united, my friend. They were just caring for one another. They were there for one another, spending time. When severe persecution came, many of the local subjects ran away, but the church believers stayed back because they felt it is their Christian responsibility to care for the needy and to be there for the needy, my friend. Let me tell you, the church, the world is still looking for the church, a transformed church, a church that can say, I see Christ in the church. I see love in the church. I was talking to my wife today before I came to church here. They went to a church and they said, so I was asking. In my conversation, I realized, it was the church was really packed. They had 350 people, very tight-knit kind of a church, wonderful media and all that. Worship was good, excellent, and all that stuff. So I asked, when you went, how did they welcome you? So she was very open. She said, I didn't feel welcome in the church. I didn't feel welcome. Let me tell you, can you imagine someone, a stranger, walking into such a church? Probably that would be the last time. Right? Why? The church is yet, the society is yet to see. I think people are not impressed because of our worship or, the kind of programs that we have, my friend. They want to see our unity, our care for one another, that we are united in Christ with love. And because we love Christ, that love outpours and is shown to others, my friend. I think that's what Jesus is saying, that the world may know that you have sent me. Can you imagine how unity influences the community? But let me not stop there. It also says, the next word in verse 20, it says, right? It doesn't mean we just be just united and just keep quiet, right? It says through their message. In other words, we are united. At the same time, we share the word and becomes powerful. When we united in Christ, and all of us, abide in Christ, and we united and we spread the word of God, it impacts the world around us, my friend. The world around us. I think today it's important for us as we look at the church team, how united are we as a church? Right? Do we know our church family? Are we praying for the church family? If we know someone is in need, I'll be there. Let me close with another story. It's about a young boy who visited his uncle. He was a lumberjack. And so curious, you learn from young kids. And so this boy went to this uncle and said, and the uncle was so proud, he brought him to his place and showed him a lot of things. And this young boy saw a massive tree, so massive, standing alone on the top of the hill. So he was so excited. He said, "Uncle, look at that huge tree. Right? It will make a lot of good lumber. Right? It will make a lot of good lumber," he said. The young uncle, looked at him, smiled, and he shook his head, "No." And he said, "Why?" "Because it's a huge tree. It's standing alone." But the uncle said, "No. uncle said, "No, son, that tree will not make a lot of good lumber. It will have lumber, but not good lumber." Then he started explaining to the young boy. He says, when the tree grows off by itself, there will be too many branches. Everywhere you see a lot of branches. And those branches produce knots. So when you cut them, they're not really good lumber. But then he said, the best lumber comes from trees that are grown together. They are slim, they are tall, they don't have much branches, but they grow together. And those are the best lumber or timber. When I was reading the story, I was asking myself, how wonderful if churches today can be grown together. It's not the huge size. The size is not the matter, my friend. If we grow together, we become not only lumber, but we become good lumber. Can be utilized for many things. Sometimes, you know, we're impressed by the size. But I think God looks inside. So how close are we today? It's our prayer that throughout these few Sundays, you know, we will be hearing, we'll be having pastors who will be coming here, you know, to spend time speaking to us about living together in unity. Let it be our prayer. Let it be our prayer that we will be united, that our unity will glorify God. And when it glorifies God, we sense, we present, we enjoy the grace of God and the presence of God in our life. That Christ will be the model. The Trinity God will be the model. That people say, you know, I want to be united the way the Father, Son, and Spirit is united. Are we alone? Are we growing together in unity? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for praying for us. And we thank you, Lord, that we can hear your heartbeat even today. It's not our programs, O God. It's not our events. Or it's not what we do, Father, but how united we are. Help us, O Lord, to have that same heartbeat of yours. Help me, help each and every one of us, O God, to draw close to you, because the more we draw close to you, God, we are united in the body of Christ. Because we want Jesus to be glorified in this place. We want Jesus to be honored in this place. And we want to have the glory of God, the presence of God, the grace of God upon us. We want to impact the world. Thank you, Lord, for praying for us. And help us, Lord, to join in that prayer too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.